Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I am Chris Jordan, your host. With me today is special guest, platform owner of Breach, content creator Richard Adams. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome back to the show. You've been on my shows numerous times, Dudes and Beer and Talking Sound, talking about different things regarding internet security, different things regarding, you know, platforms for creators like Breach.tv. The main topic of discussion today is the new regulations that have just hit YouTube. I had you on Dudes and Beer not too long ago to discuss what the new regulations as far as monetized channels, things like that meant, and exactly how that impacted people, specifically artists up and coming, things like that. Whenever they say, if you're not financially viable, financially viable in what way? In what amount of time? It doesn't say how long you have to reach that financially viable mark before they can get rid of you. And it's been interesting to see that since then, the FCC has now stepped foot into the world of YouTube. So, let's kind of start cracking that nut just a little bit. I know on my Dudes and Beer show, I have talked consistently over the last many years about the fact of, since the FCC got regulation over the internet, that, you know, their whole job is specifically the licensing, regulating, and assignment of airwaves. So how long until we would need licenses? So let's start kind of cracking that nut a little bit, Richard. Where do you come in on this as an owner of a video platform, Breach TV?
Well, from my perspective, I get why YouTube has enacted some of the regulations that they have, because they allow children to be on their website. So they have to be especially careful, especially with the COPPA regulations that are out there now. They have to be very careful with the data that they collect and receive and disseminate from their website. So I get completely why they've done that.
Well, I mean, I understand the principle in which they've done it. I don't think they've necessarily had a whole lot of choice in the matter.
That's correct. They have.
I mean, you know, FCC has basically stepped in now.
Yeah.
Which is part of what I'm talking about. Like, it's no longer going to be the Wild West, folks.
No.
The way the internet has been, as our former president once put it, as a freshman senator, whenever the Internet Act first started being proposed, and freshman Senator Obama was quoted saying that the internet is the last bastion of free speech known to man. And interesting that now it is fully started to be hacked back in that way, and really started to be walked back in a lot of ways, procedurally, law-wise, that kind of stuff. And I fully understand what you're talking about as far as YouTube allowing minors to join. I guess the big question for me, why let minors join?
That's a good question.
Like, as a platform owner, why do you have an age restriction on your platform?
Because we don't really host content that's designed or aimed for minors. We were that way from the get-go. We didn't really want that content and all of the hassles that came with it, that YouTube is now having to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's a big thing. Like, whenever we went out to lunch a while ago, that was one of the things I was talking about, was the fact of, you know, this is just a natural course of conversation. Whenever you start talking about having people under the age of 18 yep. involved with your stuff. And it was all of less than 2 years ago that the deplatformings started happening. with certain talk show hosts out there, folks, Alex Jones specifically. But there was more than one that started getting censured, more than one that started getting reined in. And my whole argument was always the fact of, wait a minute, YouTube, you actively promoted these things. Like, you said you may like this video.
Yes.
Specifically.
Yes.
Like, when people filled things out and put in their interests.
Yes.
You said you might like this.
Search histories.
You know? And
browsing
and not
history,
only that, but it
all
was,
of that.
But it was also the fact of it was released soon after that, that, wait a minute, the launch of YouTube kids were having that content suggested
yes.
to them, you know, and when you're talking about minors having things like, I'm going to get sensitive here, folks, things like Sandy Hook, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, That's rough talk. That's
yes,
some
is.
That's some real talk going on. Whether you, either side of the fence you fall on, is that necessarily content that you want your 8-year-old looking at? It's
no.
not necessarily your typical unboxing video. So why is it that YouTube was allowing that to be suggested to children?
Yeah.
Like you're owned by Google. You're the master of the algorithm. Don't tell me that you couldn't have figured that one out.
Yeah, they had some flaws in their algorithm for sure.
But that's a major flaw in the
that
algorithm.
Is, yeah, that's a major one.
And whenever you're talking about that being, oh, so recent history, like full on recent history. Like
no.
I said, that's you came on the show when we talked about that.
Yes.
When it happened.
Yes.
And it's remarkable to me how now this is what's being lined out. This is what's actively happening now. And I'm still curious as to how long before bloggers, websites, everybody, like we've already been in good. Thank you so much, EU, for your digital identity laws, things like that. We still do not have this in the United States, folks. Look it up. There is no definition of digital identity out
well,
there
we
for
have
you.
One state that does now.
Yeah. Yes. One. But there is no federal regulation saying this is what the United States says
yes.
a digital identity is. So when China hacks your digital identity, there's literally nothing that the federal government can or will do to stop it from happening.
Right.
And when you're talking about this information being shared over networks, when you're talking about it being put onto sensitive systems, I mean, I had somebody recently who took on an assistant, and their assistant contacted me along with like 80 other people in a mass email and just threw my email in there. And I was like, yo, Tater, hold up before you join the salad. We can't have you just doling out my personal information.
Yeah.
Like, cool, you gave it to your assistant, but she now shared it in an email to all these people who I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what their secure browsing history is, you know, and I actively work, you know, conferences with the federal government, like intelligence and national security conferences. So if my email gets hacked, believe me, they're going to know.
Yes, they will.
Like, I will not pass that security background check anymore when my data is compromised. And yeah, it's weird how far stretching this goes now.
Yeah.
Like I said before we started, man, the rabbit hole goes deep and fast.
Yes, it does.
It's not even a gentle slope.
No.
It's like it just started digging straight down.
Yeah.
Where do you see things like this ending up as far as creators go? As someone that's a platform owner and trying to and not trying, actively building a space for creators to get their stuff out there.
Well, I think what you're going to see is, and this is already starting, you're going to see a content rating system come out.
Mm.
Facebook's already using it.
Yeah.
If you've looked at a video on Facebook recently, they have a rating system on there.
Yeah.
Similar to what you would see on a television show or
TV Ma.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's a TV PG or a TV MA or whatever.
I'm going to be a pod Ma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
mature only.
So that's I think you're going to see that come. And I think that's going to be your limiting factor in
yeah.
allowing minors to access that information.
Well, and that's something that it, like you're saying, to have that forethought, to think about that. Like I own basically the equivalent of a podcast university. I help people launch podcasts, right. build shows, things like that. And it's something that I try to enforce to everybody. Unless your show is about kids, just mark it explicit, man.
Yes.
Just mark it explicit. Last thing you want to do is not make a note when somebody drops the F-bomb.
Right, right.
You know, like I'm on terrestrial radio now, and whenever I host Dudes and Beer, I have to tell people preemptively, listen, I know you've been on the show many times, but
until
the 58-minute mark, we cannot drop an F-bomb.
Yeah, there have been F-bombs dropped on a Dudes and Beer podcast
Numerous. And, you know, it's funny because I noted the first episode after New Year that there is now well over 10 days of material out there.
Yeah.
And that's something that people really don't consider, man. When you're and I'm not saying that I get a ton of YouTube hits, folks, but imagine if YouTube was the only platform I was putting my content on. I would be up against the wall right now trying to download my YouTube content. If you didn't have raw copies of everything, and believe me, a lot of people that make videos deprecate those copies. They don't keep them, which is silly. Like just
it is.
As cheap as like a terabyte hard drive is now, just fill it up, label it for a year, and then start a new one next year, folks. Seriously.
Yeah, drop it off to cold storage.
Yeah, exactly. But man, to think about that in terms of a creator. Imagine the day that Vimeo's gone. Poof.
Yeah.
Just gone. Like it's gone. They aren't a productive model anymore, and they're going to drop it. What are all those creators going to do?
Yeah.
Where's all their stuff going to be hosted?
Yeah.
And I did a whole episode with Todd Cochran, the CEO of Blueberry, with Talking Sound about owning your content. And I preach it to people all the time, man. Even if you go out and like buy a cheap website at GoDaddy, you're going to have enough storage to be able to store those audio files, stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You know, you can crunch things down because believe me, YouTube's doing it too. They're taking your 4K file and they are crunching it down. They are compressing it. That is not uncompressed 4K or uncompressed 1080p that you're seeing on YouTube. But, these regulations start coming in, and now it's the fact of if you aren't getting the right number of views, if your stuff isn't every single video labeled properly.
Yeah.
If everyone doesn't have the proper meta tags in there, if your channel isn't approved for 18 and up, or actually for 18 and below, or marked where your range is, it's going to be deprecated. It's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, they're a business. Me and my wife have had this discussion. I had the discussion with my buddy Wavy Dave, shout out Wavy Dave, years ago because, you know, he's medically disabled and he's at home all the time. And his big thing is watching videos on YouTube, just watching pedal videos all day long. He loves them. And he's like, man, I keep getting all these ads. And this was back when ads first started on YouTube. And I remember so many people that were up in arms about these ads. You know, like, I have to watch this ad before my video starts. I'm like, you get to skip the ad. Like, you don't have to watch the whole ad. You just have to watch a few seconds. And if you enjoy what that person's doing, they're getting paid from that ad.
Exactly. They're making money off of it.
But here's the thing. Even if your stuff isn't monetized, there are ads going on now.
Of course there are.
And used to be that wasn't the case. There was only ads when you were monetized.
Yeah, but now they're...
So now your stuff is monetized, whether you choose it to be or not. And if you don't hit a certain number of views, not only do you not get monetized, you don't get paid for that content that you're contributing to their system, but you also run the risk of being totally deplatformed.
Exactly.
Just because, like, let's say in 6 months you haven't registered 10,000 subscribers. You know, they never said how long you have to hit that level. We know what the number is.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously you have to have 10,000 subscribers and this many views or this many hours of watch time. It is now.
1,000 subscribers and I think it's 4,000 hours of content.
Yeah. Well, I think it's 4,000 hours of viewed content.
Yeah.
Because you could have like 5,000 hours of content on there. Like I'm saying, Dudes and Beer has a ton.
Yeah.
It's got 10 days of content, people. From episode 1 to, like, now, episode 254, 253, just left my head what episode number this is. But, you know, like, dude, that's 10 days of uninterrupted content.
Yeah.
Like, you could listen to me and this show and hear it evolve over 10 days, what we've done for 5 years.
Yeah.
And that just, it numbs my mind to know that I have other shows out there. Like, there's,
yeah, exactly.
There's more than just that. And I'm not stopping this show anytime soon. I'm not stopping that one. I'm not stopping my music. But my music's been up there for a decade, too. My samples are up there as a host for my website, stuff like that, you know. I think my Mardi Gras video from 2009 may save me, because that's got over 100,000 views.
Nice.
So at least my, like, business channel is live. But, you know, like, God, yeah, just think about the cleaning of house that's about to happen server-wise.
Yeah.
Like, the petabytes of data that are about to be just raised and wiped clean. Like, it is going to be like what's going on in Australia right now is what's about to happen to YouTube. That's a horrible sight. That's a horrible vision to think about. But it's what's about to happen. They're about to light a wildfire in YouTube and just start getting rid of stuff.
Yeah. And that's what happens when you want to become a broadcast network.
Yeah.
And that's the business model that they're moving towards.
Well, it's the model that they've chosen. And that was very obvious whenever they started doing YouTube Red, paid content, all that kind
live
of stuff.
Live content with YouTube Red, you can actually watch live television now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They're partnered with numerous, sports networks, all kinds of stuff. They've also got original content going on. And that's great, but I guess the question comes to bear, what are you doing to your base audience? What are you doing to the base community that you have helped build, because you've helped nurture this? And I'm not worried about, like, the 8-year-old that just got reported at New Year's making like $8 million a year doing unboxing videos. I'm not worried about that kid. He's obviously got his chops down.
Yeah.
I'm worried about people that are out there that are making new stuff, especially on the verge of the new announcement that they just made saying that Google hits, or YouTube hits rather, will count toward Billboard chart.
Yeah.
Which sounds like the ultimate beautiful concept for artists like me, right? Until you start bringing this other stuff into play.
Yeah.
Once you start bringing these other rules that they put into play, it's like, well, wait a minute. You already had a loaded system. It's been showed to be a loaded system since day one of monetization.
Yeah.
The fact that if you're and prime example, once again, I hate using the name on air, but Alex Jones, prime example, he was one of the first people, like, full-on monetized, stuff like that. You know, they came to him. They said, we will pay you money. Here's your cut. And they promoted his videos. Whenever people joined up and said, these are your interests, they said, these are videos and channels you might like. And they started them off there. So what happened to their part of that money? Did that go to families, you know? We know that these views are loaded. We know that they're loaded to where they want them to go, where there's already an audience.
Yeah.
So when Sony Records is paying for their placement, and they're also able to pay for ads, mind you, for their movies that have their music embedded in it and stuff like that. No, I'm sorry. I don't think it's a fair playing ground. I still don't.
It's not any different. As we talked about the other day, it's not any different than broadcast radio.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
which
not
is
not any different.
They always support your local radio folks, whether it's like, you know, KMFA here in Austin, where it's like, you know, classical music, whatever. If it's a public radio station, support them, because it is what's doing independent music. It is what's out there covering the new stuff in classical music, like Conspirari, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Radio stations like college radio, that kind of stuff is where you're hearing a lot of the new experimental music, a lot of the new house music, a lot of the new and interesting stuff that's coming out that major labels aren't even looking at. They aren't looking at those radio stations because they aren't tied to Cox Media Group. They aren't tied to major streaming mediums like
that. They're not iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
Or whatever they are.
Which, you know.
Whatever I mean, they are today.
They Well, they're still out there. And they were really one of the first ones to try to bring that broadcast aspect to the digital world.
Yes.
And it's interesting because I've spoken at a few podcast conferences. You've been with me at a couple where I was on panels, that kind of stuff. And I've got a background in broadcast, and that's why I love podcasting, because it's what I used to do every day just on my own. It's great.
Exactly.
I get to have all the toys and do all that fun stuff for my own show. But what's been interesting is to see everybody that has joined into the fray of podcasting. It was recently announced that there are close to 1 million podcasts out there now. And I love hearing people on the Facebook groups and stuff. I just had somebody that I responded to this morning that was like, oh, I started this murder mystery podcast because I write murder mysteries. And, you know, the reception and listens just aren't what I thought it would be. And it was like, well, what'd you think it would be? Like, number one, that's a pretty niche show. Like, yeah, how to write, like, writing a murder mystery.
Yeah.
But also, like, without advertising or PR, how many did you think?
Yeah, what did you think you were going to
get? Think you were just going to get 10,000 downloads?
Yeah, I think that's the common misconception about
absolutely
somebody joining a new platform like us is that, you know, we're not here to promote you. We're here to host your content. You know, and the fact that we don't use any sort of algorithms to recommend videos to another person.
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to have to promote yourself.
Yeah. And that's just it. You have a featured section.
Yes.
And everybody makes it on the featured section.
Everybody.
Like, granted, folks, believe me, as more videos and more creators and stuff join Breach TV, that featured section will rotate out a lot faster. But everybody hits the featured section.
Well, the featured section will grow as it grows.
Yeah, yeah.
The ability to make that happen. So.
Well, sure, but hey, you know, a page with 10,000 links may be a little much.
No,
you may want to refresh 100, like, every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But everybody hits the featured section as opposed to like the new and notable section in Apple Podcasts, for instance, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 10 years ago, you could hit the new and notable pretty easily. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
But now with literally 1 million podcasts out there.
Not so
like
much.
I told this nice lady on the group this morning, you just let a minnow go in the ocean. Did you have a GPS tracker on it? Because how are you going to tell people where to go find that minnow now?
Yeah.
Now you got to tell people where to track that minnow and how to keep track of it amongst the ocean and the shoals of fish out there.
Very true.
And that's the issue that we face. Now, I always recommend people, don't get me wrong, Richard, I love Breach. I love it. You know me. I'm a Breacher to my heart and soul. But I always tell people to go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, don't not post your stuff on YouTube, folks. They're owned by Google. It is literally the second biggest search engine. I'm just saying, don't be surprised that here in the next year, if you don't have that number of subscribers, if they don't drop you.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to start happening regularly, and it's going to be a normal course of events.
Yep.
Like I said, I would not be surprised to see a few shows from my network drop. I wouldn't like the only reason that I would think that some of my channels would still be there is because they've been there for 5, 7, 10 years,
right.
Stuff like that. So that I'm not worried about, but any show I have that's up and coming to the network. Yeah, man, it's a concern and a conversation that I'm going to have with them. You know,
This could be happening.
Well, and just don't use it as your sole source posting.
Nobody should use one single source for posting.
Unless it's your source.
No, yeah, unless you own the source.
Yeah. Unless it's like your website. Post there all day long.
Yeah.
And like we've even had the private conversation of starting my own full-on server for my shows. Just to make sure if it ever gets taken down, it's because like it was taken down.
Yeah, it's gone.
Like, we had a major malware attack. It's not like, because a lot of people don't realize that whenever you go out and buy a plan at Host Daddy or Gator Biz or whatever they're called, I'm not sponsored by any of them, so I'm not going to say any of their names. or even the firm's net one that I use. It's just the fact of you're on a shared platform. You're exactly. on a shared pipe. You and about 100 other sites are sharing. And what's going to happen is once you start building up in business, and I just had this conversation with someone once, they're like, well, doesn't that slow down your site? And I'm like, you want it to slow down your site. When you see your site slowing down, that's how you know you need to buy more bandwidth
exactly
for your website.
Exactly.
That's the ultimate, like, my goal, just so y'all know, folks, is to crash my websites. I want the Coast to Coast AM action that used to happen with Art Bell, where they would come back after commercial break and go, I'm very sorry, John, but apparently your website has crashed from the amount of traffic you brought to. That's my dream. And that's how I know at that point I need a dedicated space for my exactly. stuff, that I need a dedicated pipeline. But that's the only way you're going to get it where you aren't dealing with the FCC regulation.
Yeah.
As if you're owning that pipeline.
Exactly. Yeah,
otherwise, if you're going through Anchor, you're going to be tied to it through them. If you're going through any of those platforms, you're going to be tied to those regulations.
Yep.
And it's just been wild to me to sit back and see this web unfolding and to see the FCC start slowly creeping into this. I'm not saying that there's some nefarious means between YouTube and the FCC, folks. I'm not saying that they are like helping the FCC enact a like evil plan or
yes,
something.
Yes.
But it's definitely their path to YouTube Red, broadcast TV, things like that, that have brought about these changes and these
that's
modes.
That's exactly what happened.
And, you know, I don't know if it's foreseeable consequence for them. I can't say, like, I can definitely see how some people might see it as an unforeseeable consequence.
Yeah.
You know, because I know a lot of people that just don't consider the things that we were just talking about, you know, like, hey, iTunes is going to be there forever.
Not so much.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Anchor may not be there forever. Spotify may not be there forever. The only thing that's there forever is something that you have physical control over.
Yes.
And that's the only thing you can do is try to have physical control of your content. Try to maintain that, because at that point they have to actually regulate you, not just the platform you're on.
Right.
Now, what are some of the ways that you guys at Breach TV have actively started kind of being forward thinking about this stuff? I know you said that you've got, of course, the 18 and up regulation, but what other kind of content filters, things like that, have you guys put into place to try to keep that from occurring to you guys?
So we are going to start implementing the TV rating system. That's in the works.
Now, is that something that is like physically being required of all?
It isn't yet. It's voluntary right now. It's a voluntary requirement. That's why you've seen Facebook and a couple other larger sites that do video sharing have enabled it. I would not be surprised, because of the COPPA regulations, that they make it a mandatory thing before much longer.
Well, here's an interesting just side note, folks. Richard was one of the people who with me this year actively got media credentials for the Texas Association of Broadcasters. And for them to see an online distribution network as something broadcast essential.
Yeah.
Enough to give you a media pass
exactly.
to come in and see what's going on. That's pretty telling.
Yes, it is.
You know, and you should totally apply for a CES media badge, by the way.
It's a little late to do that.
Yeah. But for next year,
next year.
Just because, that was one of the check boxes was distribution platforms and online streaming. So this stuff is becoming more pervasive. And as it becomes pervasive, it's good and bad. It's good because the technology is awesomely incredible. But the incredible cosmic power comes with the itty bitty living space, folks.
with great power comes great
responsibility. And also itty bitty living space. Just like Aladdin just like the genie from Aladdin, yes. Because with this great power will come great regulation. Eventually it will not be the Wild West forever. We've seen how quick this pony has been reined back into corral. That happened pretty quick. As far as media goes, podcasts have been around for all of 10 years, and already I'm here to tell you, folks, as a former broadcast engineer, we have them chasing our market. We have broadcast realizing that they have neglected the listener, and that when they're out of that, they may not be what's on the radio anymore in drive time.
Very true.
And that even if that is the case, they may not be what's on the radio anymore in somebody's cubicle, because you can't have radios in cubicles anymore. But people can definitely have their podcast on their phone.
Exactly.
And have it Bluetooth to their earpiece and stuff like that while they're working all day, because that's not on the company server. They can't go to like the WBLM website on the company server, that kind of stuff, because it's got streaming media players and things that may have bugs and that kind of stuff in it. So we have stolen their ears. We've stolen their audience. And now they are trying to catch up with us, which is why every time you hear them sign off, they say, make sure to check out our podcast. On the website, you can find it on Streamatube and I'm a listen and all that stuff. I'm not giving any of them any money, folks. None of them, except Reach.tv, because I'm there and I'm partnered with them. And there, you can be partnered with them too. You can be monetized from view one. It's a beautiful thing, and that's what I see happening. That's what I see, is the fact that they are actively catching up with us. And much like the broadcast is catching up with us, believe me, those regulations that come with being on broadcast,
they're coming.
Will come to us.
They're coming, yes.
They will hit us. There may be some of us that have been on platform long enough, that have been out there long enough, that maybe we will be grandfathered and be able to get a license easier. But good luck with it.
Because it
will very soon be the case. It's already the fact of, if you start up a website, you have to internationally register it with ICANN.
Yeah. Well, that's been that way since the word get-go.
Yeah. Yeah. And wasn't it the case that I didn't think you always had to internationally register with ICANN?
It has.
Is that the fact?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, maybe it was just the fact of whenever I purchased my URL, that was done through somebody else.
Yeah.
Whoever
bought your domain name from, they did the registration with ICANN for you.
Yeah, precisely. And, it's just, it will eventually loop back to it. That's all I can see. And the fact of, we've now got creators involved in the loop. We've now got, you guys went through and preemptively did stuff with ASCAP, BMI, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Let's get into that for a minute or two,
absolutely.
Because that's where a lot of this started being seen. The original muting, even Talking Sound had episodes of muted on YouTube where I was actively on camera with the person that wrote the song going, let's put on our headphones and listen to that song real quick. Mute. And it's like, what, do you think I don't have the artist permission to use their song?
I'm here with
the artist, man. This is the dude that wrote the song. But what have you guys done to assure that kind of stuff literally keeps rocking and rolling?
So we've signed into agreements with both ASCAP and BMI. ASCAP is ASCAP. BMI is now Rumblefish, who we will see in a couple of months.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At South By, because they will be putting on their artist showcase again this year. They actually have two people coming this year.
Nice.
So we have signed into revenue sharing agreements with them. So basically what we do is, if you post a video that has registered music in it, we'll allow it to play, but any ad revenue, we take a percentage of it and send it back to either Rumblefish or ASCAP.
Yeah.
Basically, we have become a performing rights organization for music.
Absolutely. And especially with the upcoming launch of the .fm program,
exactly.
Things like that, the .fm platform, with you guys. That's hugely important.
Yeah. Because if you want to say you want to record a cover song,
mm-hmm.
you can do that. You can sell that cover song. And again,
Now
revenue share goes back to the original artist who wrote the song.
Yeah.
And then you get to keep the rest.
Yeah. I mean, DJs posting mixtapes, all that kind of stuff that people used to love on YouTube back in the day that now just gets muted or kicked off. And with that in mind, could you even do like a live stream? Like a live radio show?
You could,
playing songs, like actually DJing.
Yeah, you could.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, because the royalties would be paid right off the top from
the PRO stuff would be already covered.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, because I mean, there's tons of people out there that just want to radio DJ and start up an online radio station and stuff like that. So the fact that you've actually made a platform, because in the past, things like Radio FM, that kind of stuff, or TuneIn, you actively have to have some experience with scheduling things out, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But with this, it would be a little bit different. So, yeah, good on you for making a platform that makes that accessible to people. That's what I love, is that you guys are so forward thinking about it, instead of waiting for stuff like this to come about.
Yeah.
Now, like, of course, you want people to come and post original content, that kind of stuff. I don't think you're ever going to be looking at the model of going studio, like NetFirms, or not NetFirms, but my God, it just left my head. Not just YouTube or YouTube Red, but Netflix.
Netflix or anything.
No. Netflix, Hulu, that kind of stuff.
That's not our business model.
Yeah, where you're going to start up like a Breach Studios or something like that.
Well, we are going to build a studio.
Yes.
We are going to build a creator studio.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily like you Breach Films.
No,
you're not
going to be making
like movies like Bird Food or
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless
somebody wants to come down to the studio, said studio, and record a film. No, we're not going to get into that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You aren't financing the creation of anything, that kind of stuff.
No.
So, and I think it's good that you have put forth a path and really stuck to that path of helping the independent creator, even with y'all's merch stores that you're getting going right now. You're actively wearing Breach merch.
I am
here in the studio.
I am.
Beautiful sublimated print.
Yes.
On the shirt.
I'm very happy.
Very, very well done.
Been through several washes too.
It's
held up well.
It really good stuff. And the fact that you're going to be able to have like one-off drop ship printing, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Is really great. 'Cause then you don't have to get 50 shirts to get them at $5 each.
Right.
That kind of stuff. So, like I said, the fact that y'all have really taken the creators into aspect from day one, I think is what I've enjoyed most about the platform. And especially the fact that you're about people's freedom of speech. You're about trying to keep things not necessarily Wild West, but as unregulated as possible.
Exactly.
When it comes to that, and as laissez-faire as possible.
Yeah.
How do y'all maintain that?
I think a lot of it comes down to the terms of service that we've enabled. We don't really necessarily care if you're progressive, conservative, whatever.
Yeah.
As long as you're not attacking somebody or downgrading somebody that you may not necessarily disagree with.
Sure.
We don't really honestly.
Yeah.
It's
no,
not really our place to mandate what you post.
Yeah. No violent calls to action.
Right.
Things like that.
Right.
You know, as long as you aren't advocating violence toward people or, you know, disseminating some kind of horrible footage of violence or explicit sexual acts.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I mean, and that's just it. Like it's gotten interesting to see where YouTube has gone, what's there now, the way that things have become so curated there. Because it's become much more of a curated experience than what it once was.
Yeah.
And it's definitely got that broadcast background to it, which is why they're going this way and why these regulations have really come and hit them first.
Yeah.
They really have been ground zero for a lot of, I guess the only real way to put it necessarily is almost dialogue control, because it's, you know, if it's going to knock somebody off that may have an opposing point of view. But I don't know. I'm happy in some ways. I'm a whole lot of sad in others.
Yeah.
Because I can see how the potential for things like FCC licensing of blogs is right down the road.
Yeah, I don't know that we're at that point, but
I wouldn't say we're at that point, but 10 years is a blink of an eye for media.
That's true. Very true.
You know, like that's what I keep saying. Somebody in a group the other day was like, when are they going to have an independent award for podcasters? I'm like, they do.
Yeah, they do.
You got to pay into it. Like how do you get into the Academy Awards? You pay money to
pay, or you have made the Academy a lot of money through whatever.
And it's like, they exist. They're out there. The chances of winning them are literally one in a million now.
Yeah.
With all the podcasts out there. So,
but again, getting to the show itself
is a paid program.
It's a paid program, but it's also paid promotion, because you get to promote yourself while you're there.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And you get to have your name on that stage.
Exactly.
Whether you win or not,
you're there.
You're up for nomination.
You're there, and your podcast is there, or your show is there, whatever the case might be.
And that's just it.
And, you know, it goes back to the old adage, it takes money to make money.
Yep.
It does.
And like we say on Dudes and Beer all the time, if the product is free, you're the product.
Exactly.
Whenever you're looking at all that, like they spent years with a free product on YouTube.
Yeah.
And believe me, they got a lot of metric data, folks. They got a lot.
You'd be surprised at how much data we can pull.
Yeah. And especially about that stuff. It's all right there. You fill it out. You like things, you allow cookies. And like I said earlier, good on the European Union for the accept cookies.
Yeah.
If it were not for the EU, we would not have an accept cookies rule. I know it's annoying to see that pop up whenever you first visit a website, folks, but click it. Cause that's what's protecting your digital rights, is things like that. You acknowledging the fact that yes, you can use my cookies, to do things like advertise in your widget spaces. And that's what it is. You know, it's like, what have you browsed for? So we know what commercials to put up in the widget space of our website. You know, I use things like VigLink stuff. I don't necessarily use them on my website now, but I did for a long time because it automatically created backlinks to other stuff. And whether or not people ordered it or not, it created backlinks across the internet automatically every so many words.
Yeah.
It would see something like bucket, you know, like, so type this off your bucket list, and it'll highlight the word bucket, and it'll throw in an ad to buckets on walmart.com, you know, and if you buy through it, cool. If not, I've got an outbound link going somewhere. The internet still likes that.
Exactly.
It's all that data. That you're hitting accept for, that kind of stuff, which helps us. It helps us on our end see what kind of things people are clicking on. Like if I go into my VigLink panel, I can see how many bucket clicks I got.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to do more episodes about buckets and their use, because obviously I've got a bucket using audience. So all that stuff is metricable. It's all usable data if you look at it in the right point of view.
And these things are even worse. As I'm tapping on my phone.
Yeah, we're an audio program, Richard.
I'm tapping on my phone. These things are even worse.
Yes.
Because these things can listen to you, and they can watch you, and they know where you're at all times.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really, I mean, it's great and disturbing. Yeah, I mean, it's like walking into Jurassic Park almost on the weekly, folks, whenever we see this stuff. And we're like, oh, my God, the possibilities. Should you really have done that?
Yes.
Like, did we need to make a T-Rex? Couldn't we, like, start it with some tiny ones? Why you got to start off so big? Let's start off with some tiny ones, you know, that you can, like, sick a big dog on and see what happens with that for 10 years before we just go off and make a T-Rex.
Yeah.
You know?
The biggest
like,
one.
Well, and that's just it. That's the mentality all the time is go big or go home.
Exactly.
You know, like, we're just building rockets into oblivion now, just blowing them up all over coasts. You know, like, hey, you got some coastline? Cool. Let's go blow up some rockets.
Let's go shoot some fireworks off of your coast.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. If it's not successful, that's cool. We're just going to have a bunch of jet fuel everywhere.
Jet fuel and so, worse. Rocket
so yeah,
fuel.
It's out there. These are the things that we're facing as content creators. These are the things that we will come to be facing in the future of the internet in this new decade. Like, literally, it's a new decade. The internet has only been here for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And once again, that is so, so tiny. Look at what happened to televisions in 20 years, folks. Look at what happened to the automobile in 20 years. Look at what happened to the computer in 20 years. Look at what happened to home gaming in 20 years. All right. These are, and those were like technological leaps beyond technological leaps to get to those points. We've got the technology now. So imagine where it's going to be going. Richard, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Tell everybody where they can go to become a member of Breach, to start putting their stuff out, how to get monetized, everything.
It's www.breach.tv.
All right. And what do they need in order to join as a monetized member? What's that process like?
It's as simple as filling out the revenue sharing agreement and having a PayPal address.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or a Venmo account, either
it's,
one.
It's nice and easy, super easy. I've been getting my payments for Breach for our network for over 2 years now.
Over 2 years now.
So, yeah.
It was right after the 100th episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So almost 3 years now.
See, that's a listener there, folks. I like it.
Well, I got to participate in that 100th episode.
You did. You did get to participate in that 100th episode. We're going to have some more good times coming up because this year is episode 300.
Yeah.
We just passed 250. 250 was our New Year's episode.
Nice.
So, yeah, to know that, like I said, there's 10 hours of Dudes and Beer or 10 days. 10 days. Like, wow. Wow, that's just crazy.
That is crazy.
I may have to have a 10-day drunkathon sometime and just listen to Dudes and Beer for days on end. 5-hour Mika Motto auction episodes and stuff like that. So, Richard, thank you so much for taking the time to come on. Thank you so much for taking the time to share the information about Breach and the issues going on with YouTube right now for creators, about creators, stuff like that. So,
thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for always coming on, talking about this kind of stuff and helping the community the way that you do. We greatly appreciate it.
Glad to help.
While you're online checking out everything from Breach TV, make sure to stop on by. Check us out online. HCUniversalNetwork.com is where you can find all the episodes as well as our website. You can find everything on both of those. You can find everything on your favorite platform. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.